Turn your Bibles to the book of Ezekiel in chapter 14, book of Ezekiel in chapter 14, shall we pray? Father, gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you and praise you for this opportunity that we have to come in to your house. We know, dear Heavenly Father, that we desire to do this. We desire to assemble together with the saints in thy presence. We desire to learn more about you, more about your ways, that we might walk therein. And that because of the Lord Jesus Christ and his shed blood on our behalf and the quickening power of the Holy Spirit to take that which was dead in trespasses and sins, make it alive unto God, setting us at liberty, setting us free from the dominion of sin, setting us free to worship and to serve our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ. So we're thankful tonight to be able to sing these songs and know that they're expressions from our heart. Praise you, to thanks, offer up thanksgiving to you for so great salvation, for all that you have done on our behalf. For your great mercy, your love wherewith you loved us, by grace are we saved. Pray to your Heavenly Father that as we open your book tonight, that you give us understanding, teach us. Teach us, dear Heavenly Father, to walk in your paths, to be obedient to your command. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Turn with me to the book of Ezekiel. And chapter 14. And we're ready, or we're in verses 9 and 10. But I thought it's been a while since we've read the verses preceding verses 9 and 10, that we ought to go back and read verses 1 through 10 this evening. Verse 1 we begin reading, "Then came certain of the elders of Israel unto me, and sat before me. And the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Son of man, these men have set up their idols in their heart, and put the stumbling block of their iniquity before their face. Should I be inquired of at all by them? Therefore speak unto them, and say unto them, Thus saith the Lord God, every man of the house of Israel that setteth up his idol in his heart, and putteth the stumbling block of his iniquity before his face, and cometh to the prophet, how the Lord will answer him that cometh according to the multitude of his idols, that I may take the house of Israel in their own heart, because they are all estranged from me, idols. Therefore say unto the house of Israel, thus saith the Lord God, repent and turn yourselves from your idols and turn away your faces from all your abominations. And that is true repentance. When you truly repent, you turn away from sin and the desires and passions of the flesh. For every one of the house of Israel, or of the stranger that sojourneth in Israel, which separateth himself from me, and setteth up his idols in his heart, and putteth the stumbling block of his iniquity before his face, and cometh to a prophet to inquire of him concerning me, I, the Lord, will answer him by myself. In other words, they do as these elders have done. They've set up the idols in their hearts. They put the stumbling block of their iniquity before their face, and they went before Ezekiel. And I will set my face against that man and will make him a sign and a proverb, and I will cut him off from the midst of my people, and ye shall know that I am the Lord. In verse 9 and 10. And if the prophet be deceived, when he hath spoken a thing, I, the Lord, have deceived that prophet, and I will stretch out my hand upon him, and will destroy him from the midst of my people Israel, and they shall bear the punishment of their iniquity. The punishment of the prophet shall be even as the punishment of him that seeketh unto him. As we said last week, we are on the point, the deceived prophets. These elders, and every one of the house of Israel, including strangers that dwell there, which have turned away from the Lord. They have turned away from the Lord by setting up his idols in their heart, putting the stumbling block of their iniquity before the... That is, they worship them. They have turned away from the Lord. They have set up idols in their heart. They put the stumbling block of their iniquity before their face. And so is everyone who worships, who runs after his own desires and passions today. He has set up idols in his heart, and he's put the stumbling block of iniquity before his face. They do this, and because Ezekiel was a true prophet of the Lord, Ezekiel would only prophesy, would only tell them that which the Lord had spoken. Nothing else. He wouldn't tell them what they wanted to hear. And if the Lord didn't speak anything, he didn't tell them anything. I have no word. You've heard me say that. If the Lord doesn't give me something to say when I get up here, I don't have anything to say. I might as well sit down. And you might as well have me sit down. Because you want to hear from the Lord. You see, these that we're talking about, they were hoping to find some prophet that they might come unto that would tell them what they wanted to hear. And the Lord says, and if the prophet be deceived when he has spoken a thing, the prophet is as they are. The prophet has set up idols in his heart. He has the stumbling block of his iniquity before his face. He's bought into their foolishness. He will tell them what they want to hear. He will speak smooth things unto them. And he said, that prophet, the Lord said, that prophet, I have permitted those lying prophets. He said, I know that I, the Lord, have deceived him. I, the Lord, I've permitted him to go on following the desires and the passions of his heart, which is to do the will of the people, to please the people. For what purpose? For pomp and riches. For notoriety. For money. We said last week thinking about this, that God is not the originator. God said, no, that I have deceived that man. We use the word that I have permitted it. I have allowed it. God's not the originator of sin. We looked at that last week. He's not the author of it. He doesn't tempt men with sin. We looked at several passages of Scripture, a popular one in the book of James and chapter 1, we looked at. James goes on to tell us that if God hadn't tempted us, every man is drawn away when he's tempted of his own heart, of his own desire and his own passions. We allow it to come. We use the passage of Scripture in the book of John and in the 8th chapter last week where there were Jews that had said they believed on Jesus. And Jesus began to point out to them by, first of all, talking about Abraham. And they said, Abraham's our father. And Jesus shuts that one down by saying, if Abraham were your father, then ye would do the works of Abraham. What were the works of Abraham? He was a man of faith. And because he had faith, because he trusted the Lord, he followed the Lord God Almighty. They weren't following the Lord God Almighty. Come down to, they said, we be not born of fornication. We have one Father, even God. And Jesus told him what? If God were your Father, then ye would believe me. For I proceeded from God. I came from God. He went on to tell them, because they did the desires and passions of their own heart. They followed not in the paths of their father Abraham. They followed not in the paths of God. They were of their father, the devil. And they were basically, in summation, they were a liar, the same as he who is the father of lies. But we did go on to point out that while God's not the author of sin, he is the author of salvation. Praise God. Praise God, he's the author of our salvation. You see, no man would be saved if it wasn't for God authoring salvation, beginning to work in my heart, your heart. And what is it? Philippians chapter 1 and verse 6 tells us, he that hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. Praise God. Thank God for that. We looked at Hebrews 5, 9. Lets us know that God is the author. Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 2 says, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising and shame. Jesus Christ, the author of my salvation. Jesus Christ, the one mediator between God and man. Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever. Now this week, continuing and joining this together, it's all kind of building on the same thought. He's not the author of sin. He's not the originator of sin. However, as Lord of all, as the sovereign God, the creator of heaven and earth and all that in it is, he's ruling over all. And he uses one wicked man to accomplish his purpose upon another wicked man to destroy. Another. And he uses one to deceive another. Why? He allows it to accomplish his purpose. If it won't do that, he restrains it. He won't allow it. He won't permit it. I know that these things are hard for you to understand or hard for me to understand. I believe it. I believe it because God's Word says it so. That's the portrait that His Word gives of Him. He's the potter, we're the clay. Shall the thing formed say to him that formed it, why made you me thus? Why did you make me this way? We have an example that not too long ago, we were at in our Sunday school class, the example of an Ahab line. Turn with me to the book of 1 Kings. First Kings chapter 22. And in this chapter, Ahab is yet king of Israel. And Ahab is at a time in which he's at peace with Syria. Now, had not always been. He and Ahaziel, the seed of Ahaziel, had warred at different times. But in the 22nd chapter here, he's at peace with Syria. They have rest. Jehoshaphat is king of Judah. And Jehoshaphat has a heart for Israel, for the king, because they're all one. They proceeded from Jacob. They proceeded from Isaac. They proceeded from Abraham. They're brethren. And he, in essence, tells Ahab that. Ahab's servants were saying, this city up here that's occupied by Syria, it's our city. Why do we allow them to have control over our city, that which belongs to us? And Jehoshaphat had gone down to see Ahab, and Ahab said to Jehoshaphat, said, will you go with me? Take back that which is ours. Well, you know the record. Ahab, he's going to call in his prophets because Jehoshaphat wants word from the Lord, from the prophets. So Ahab calls in his prophets and they prophesy good for Ahab. They say, yes, go, the Lord's going to give it into your hand. What is it that Jehoshaphat says? Jehoshaphat says, is there not another prophet, a prophet of the Lord? Now, don't want these prophets of Baal. I don't want to go to war on their word. Oh, Ahab says, yeah. There's this one, Micaiah. But I don't like him. I hate him. He never prophesied anything good concerning me. Jehoshaphat says, you send for him, we'll hear from him. And Micaiah says that he must tell the messengers that come to get him, he must prophesy the word of the Lord. Let's begin reading with verse 20. And he prophesied, and Ahab said, didn't I tell you he wouldn't prophesy anything good concerning me? Because, see, the first word he said is, go ahead, go, and the Lord will give it into your hands. He said, now, didn't I tell you to prophesy what the Lord said? And so he tells me, I've seen Israel scattered on the hillside as sheep, having no shepherd. And every man was told to return to his home, because they had not a master. And Ahab knew what that meant. Didn't I tell you he wouldn't prophesy anything good concerning me? And so Ahab goes on and continues. And he said in verse 19, and he said, hear thou therefore the word of the Lord. I saw the Lord sitting on his throne, and all the host of heaven standing by him on his right hand and on his left. And the Lord said, who shall persuade Ahab that he may go up and fall by Ramoth-Gilead? This is what Micaiah is telling Ahab that he saw. And one said on this manner, and another said on that manner. And there came forth a spirit and stood before the Lord and said, I will persuade him. And the Lord said unto him, wherewith? And he said, I will go forth and I will be a lying spirit in the mouth of all his prophets. And he said, thou shalt persuade him and prevail also. Go forth and do so. Now, therefore, this is no longer the vision. This is the interpretation that Micaiah is giving to Ahab. Now, therefore, behold, the Lord hath put a lying spirit in the mouth of all these thy prophets, and the Lord hath spoken evil concerning them. Did the Lord cause those prophets to lie? No. Those prophets only did that which was already in their heart. They were liars already. They were prophets of Baal. They were liars. The Lord simply allowed him to answer Ahab this way. For what purpose? To accomplish his purpose in Ahab being defeated, killed, and displaced, his judgment coming upon Ahab for his great sin. What about them that refuse salvation? Turn with me to 2 Thessalonians. 2 Thessalonians, chapter 2. And look with me here at, well, I want to read let's begin with verse 8. We'll end up with verses 10 and 11. And then, verse 8, and then shall that wicked be revealed. That is, the man of sin, the lawless one, the wicked one, whom the Lord shall consume with the spirit of his mouth and shall destroy him with the brightness of his coming. Even him whose coming is after the working of Satan with all power and signs and lying wonders and with all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish. Why? Because they receive not the love of the truth, that they might be saved. Because they receive not the love of the truth. They didn't want to hear the truth. They didn't want to believe the truth so that they'd be saved. We on Sunday morning, we going through Matthew chapter 24, we've been in Revelation quite a bit, and we've seen all those horrible things that come upon men during the tribulation period. And then it makes the statement, and they repented not. And they repented not. And it says in verse 11, and for this cause, God shall send them strong delusion that is false belief, that they should believe a lie. Now, is God causing them not to believe? No. God is just allowing them. He's just allowing them to go on in their unbelief, in their believing falsehoods. They don't love the truth. They don't care anything about the truth. They rather believe falsehoods. God allows it. There again, hard for man to understand. Hard for man to understand why God would allow such a thing, isn't it? Turn with me to the book of Romans. Book of Romans in chapter 9. Going back and reminding you of a comment I made earlier. He's the potter. We're the clay. In Romans chapter 9 and verse 17, for the scripture saith unto Pharaoh, even for this same purpose have I raised thee up, that I might show my power in thee, and that my name might be declared throughout all the earth. We know the record concerning Pharaoh, concerning Egypt, in the days of Israel and their exodus from the land of Egypt. Do we not? Here, the scripture tells us that God raised up Pharaoh that he might show his power in him. Well, how did God show his power in him? Well, did he not show his power in the 10 plagues? Did he not show his power in the children of Israel going across the Red Sea on dry ground, and the Egyptians coming into the midst of the Red Sea and the waters closing up on them, and they were all of them dead corpses the next morning? Did not God show his mighty power? Amen. Did not God show his mighty power in delivering Egypt or Israel from Egypt? Yes, he did. Verse 18. Therefore hath he mercy on whom he will have mercy, and whom he will, he hardeneth. What any man should ask, saved men should ask, why would he have mercy on me? Ephesians answers that, for his great love wherewith he loved us. Thou wilt say then unto me, why doth he yet find fault? For who hath resisted his will? Nay, but, O man, who art thou that repliest against God? Shall the thing formed say to him that formed it, why hast thou made me thus? Hath not the potter power over the clay of the same lump to make one vessel unto honor and another unto dishonor? You see, we're all one clump. We're all from the earthy. We're all the creation of God. And God, before the foundation of the world, before he created anything, knew man. He knew man. He knew what was in man. And he purposed to make man upright, and he knew that man would seek out his own devices. But praise be to God, he loved some. And those whom he loved, he made them vessels unto honor. Vessels unto honor. And the rest are unto dishonor. You see, we were all dishonorable. All of us. Praise God, He made me a vessel of honor. Now, if you're here and saved tonight, He made you a vessel of honor. What if God, willing to show His wrath and to make His power known, endured with much long-suffering the vessels of wrath fitted to destruction, and that He might make known the riches of His glory on the vessels of mercy, which He had afore prepared unto glory. And we're learning of those. We're learning of those things that He purposed for us in Him. Turn with me one other passage of Scripture. In the book of Psalms, in chapter 76. It takes us back to a comment I made at the beginning. Don't understand all this, but I believe it. God is Creator. He's created the heavens and the earth and all that in them is. He is the sovereign over all His domain. And it tells us this about God. In Psalm 76 and verse 10, surely the wrath of man shall praise Thee. The wickedness of man, the evilness of man, and the wrath that is going to come upon him shall praise God, shall praise the sovereign God. The remainder of wrath shalt thou restrain. If there be any wickedness and evil in men, and there is, but if God won't get the glory from it, He restrains it. And let me tell you, since Adam and Eve sinned, He's been restraining a lot of evil, a lot of wickedness all these years. And it seems like in my lifetime, I've seen Him restrain less and less in my 70 years. But I tell you tonight that He's still restraining a whole lot of evil and wickedness. And how do I know that He's still restraining a whole lot of evil and wickedness? Because it's still not as bad as it's going to be in the tribulation period. Praise God. He's restraining. Yet tonight. Well, we've got